up into my friends' faces, and suddenly the weight of their expectation crushes me. All my life I've been distorted by other people's expectations. Parents, wife, children, friends, all wanting me to be someone else. And slowly over the years, my secret self, my real self, unknown, unwanted, unloved, has withered and atrophied as resentment twisted me. And now Jesus. But I refuse to meet his eyes, to make contact, in case he too has expectations, sees me as someone I am not and never can be. But I cannot evade his voice. And somehow from him, friend sounds different, carries no oppressive overtones, only a deep yearning for someone known, wanted, loved. A yearning that unknots the mockery my life has become. And as I stand and meet his eyes, reflected there is someone I know as myself. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. And a good morning to anyone who's listening online or on CD. And I had this wee thought during the week. Wouldn't it be lovely if those that are listening online or by CD could hear from you as well? So I wonder if we say, could just all shout good morning together? Well, that'd be all right. Good morning. If I say good, I'll go one, two, three. Okay, one, two, three. Good morning. That'll be a nice wee surprise for them. Anyway, a very good morning to you all. A warm welcome if you're visiting us or with us for the first time. We do have tea and coffee through in the hall after the service, and you're always, always very welcome to come and join the folks that gather there. Your order of service has a number of intimations in it, one that I'll highlight, but I'm going to leave you to read the rest, and then because I've got a few others to give you. Just a reminder to the board and Kirk Session that we have a meeting this Thursday here in the sanctuary at 7:30. So the intimations that I have to give you. Music to remember, a wee note from Lillian. I'll just read what Lillian's written here. As part of a review of the church's safety procedures, Music to Remember are holding a simulated emergency evacuation on Tuesday at 9 a.m. For this, we require volunteers. So anyone who wishes to participate in this event should come to Benachie for 9 o'clock along the Kirk Centre for a 9 o'clock start on Tuesday morning. The event will be finished by 10 o'clock in time for the usual Music to Remember meeting. Visitors can either join us for the singing or enjoy a cup of coffee in the Hub Cafe afterwards. So if you're free on Tuesday morning and able to come along to the Kirk Session for a 9 o'clock start, along to the Kirk Centre for a 9 o'clock start, you'd be made very, very welcome as they do a simulated emergency evacuation. The Guild yesterday had a very successful morning. I was sorry not to be able to join you, but Abby and I were away at a conference all day, and they had a successful morning yesterday, raising just over £900, which is just fantastic. And they would like to say a big thank you to all of you who helped in any way achieve that target. Just absolutely fantastic. Now, there were some leftovers, if I find them, at the end of the morning. When they were tidying up and putting some of the boxes away, they discovered two keys in a box, two loose keys, not on a key ring. So if anyone that was there yesterday or donated anything or is minus two keys, I've got them here and I'll put them in my pocket. So if you want to come and see me at the end, failing that, I'll get them back to the Guild and maybe somebody will have discovered through the week that they can't get into whatever door these keys open. So just to say that. But I'm going to leave you to read everything else in your own time because there's quite a lot of things in there. I always say you always know when there's a lot of intimations because the print gets smaller. And the print's quite small this week. But we'll leave you to read that in your own time. Of all the grand entrances the King of the World makes, of all the red carpets at Oscars and Golden Globes, of all the X Factor limousines and royal carriages, only the Kingdom of God can upstage such entrances, being lowered down from a broken roof to the feet of Jesus as he preached the reign of love. This entrance alone bearing the needs of the world is the faithful, honest, humble entrance. May we make room in our worship for the world's needs, interrupted by a love that brings in the kingdom and the friendship of others. We stand to sing together hymn 685, For Everyone Born, A Place at the Table. Please join me as we come to God in prayer. God of love, we gather in this place today. We come from different homes, different streets, different families, united in our love for you, called to be disciples, called to work together as friends. Lord Jesus, you were a friend to everyone you met. You travelled with friends. You prayed with friends. You invited people to be your friend. But more than that, you call all who follow you brother and sister. We're sorry that sometimes we do not treat each other as friends. We do not listen or journey with those we call friends. Forgive us for those times when we put our needs and desires before our friends or yours. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Teach us to be true friends to the men and women, boys and girls we meet, and to anyone in need. And hear us as we join in Jesus' words given to his friends. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, over the last few weeks, I've been inviting people to share with us something that they love, and I wondered if anybody's brought anything with them today. If anybody brought anything with them? I know Colin has, and he's very excited to share this, aren't you, Colin? Come on, you should share with everyone what it is that you've brought with you today. Are you excited to see what's in this bag? I'm very excited to see what's in this bag, because he's... What have you brought with you today, Colin?
I'm going to get these people here to help me.
But... You need a hand?
I've already organised
them. Oh, you've already organised them, okay. Oh, wow. I told you he was excited.
First of all, a confession, a public confession. I'm a compulsive railway modeller. And I've been collecting six trains for more than 50 years, and there is no cure. The six trains were originally designed about 1935. I can't remember that far back, I wasn't here. As far as I know, the designers had no intention of trips trains being put on a communion table. They were designed for tabletop use, but not for a communion table. This may just be a world first, I don't know.
I did give him permission.
Oh, yes,
I did.
Thank you, yes. And first of all, two numbers. 4472 equals 60103. Now, some of you may say, he didn't do very well at maths at school, did he? Until I say, well, actually, those two numbers belong to a steam locomotive called the Flying Scotsman. Now, I'm very sorry, I couldn't get the Flying Scotsman up the steps. It's too big. Do you know the driving wheels are about that high? Just about 6 feet. But I do have a model, so you can tell your friends, there was a Flying Scotsman in church this morning. Can you four come up and help me see what's in the bag? Yes. I've checked with permission for doing all these things, by the way. Now,
let's have a look. It's exciting, isn't it?
Oh. A bit of protective plastic, first of all. Okay. Can you guys get the track out from the box? Bring a piece each. That's right. Put it on the plastic, look. Right. That's right. Is there any more? I'll bring some more out then.
Do you want to come and see for you? No? Okay. Okay, so we've got some track being laid. Ready for the, I think it's carriage. Is it carriages that are in? Oh. That's very exciting. Oh, it's okay. That's all right. Okay.
Each of you has one carriage.
It'll be worth the wait. And I have a sneaking suspicion
that's the rest
at the end of
car.
The service, they'll still there be here if you'd come and have a closer look.
It's a first-class carriage for those who travel first class, you see. Now, what we need now... That's right. I think we need that extra piece of track, after all. I remember there was a gap in the middle there. That's fine, thank you. Now, it's very, very old. You see, it's very, very fragile. If I drop it, I get into trouble for myself. Now, can you see the number on the sign? What is it? Signal. There we are.
Wow.
Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you one or two stories. Do you want to look at these folk? That's right. Now, first of all, collecting trains when they don't make them anymore is a bit difficult because they stopped making these sorts of trains in about 1960. You can't just go into a shop and buy one. So I have to look around swap meets and exhibitions. And we went to Brighton a few years ago to visit our daughter. And I went to the railway station. Underneath the railway station was a toy and train museum. I eventually came out again, and I came away with a wagon. And that was the end of the story, almost. So I packed all my bags and we had to come home. And I got stopped at security check at Gatwick Airport. Please, sir, will you empty your cabin bag? Okay, I'd packed it so carefully, but I had to empty it. And he rummaged about a bit and he said, "Now, sir, what is this?" Pulling out, actually, this isn't the right one. It should have been the bigger one. He said, "What is this?" I said, "This is a lithograph tin plate wagon for my model railway. And, sir, you will notice it's empty. So it's quite safe." OK, pack your bag up. Another number. This is not a collecting one. I can't collect big ones. See that number there, which is 60103? Now, if you say 60163... that means tornado. And that was a very large locomotive, like that one, built at the cost of a mere £3 million. And it came into service about 2009. And about that time, or just the following year, Joanne and I were in Brighton visiting our daughter again. And we all went for a ride on the train. Went to the booking office. Said, "Tickets for the family, please, for the train." "Okay, sir, the next train leaves at 2:15 and it will be pulled by tornado." Their publicity wasn't very good. Nobody knew it was going to be pulled. So there we were, behind the latest steam locomotive built in this country. The first one since about 1960 or thereabouts. Now, I've been collecting for 50 years and I've got model railways all over the place. I've got a little layout in the garage. That's under development. And that's so that I can play trains when I put the car away. That's why it takes me a long time to put the car away. This train has a story to it, actually. One Christmas, Joanne said, "Could we have a train for Christmas on the windowsill in the sitting room?" I said, OK. So there it was. Locomotive, carriages, must have the signal, of course. And there it was on the display for Christmas. Christmas came, Christmas went, New Year came, New Year went. And Joanne said, "That's very nice, thank you very much. Next year, guess what? Please, can we have a Christmas train again?" Okay, same again. And then the following year, just the same. But the year after that, it was different. After New Year, Joanne said, please, why do we have to put it away for the year? Can't we just leave it there all the time? Well, fine. But that was last year. Remember how hot it was? So actually, during the summer, it had to be taken away, otherwise it would have fried in the windowsill. And they are a bit delicate. They are 60 years old, mine, so you can understand that. And then I've got a large layout in the loft. So large, I'm still working on it. It'll never be finished, but I'm making progress. And it's been out on public exhibition twice so far. And I'm not quite sure where you might see it again. But I'm going to give you a clue. It might be at the NBC Festival this year. It might be at the Aberdeen Annual Exhibition in October this year. Or it could just be next year. Or it could be, and I'm not so sure, but it could just be in this church at Christmas time, because I'm building a special layout called a Christmas tree layout as a part of the Christmas tree festival. So having committed myself, I've now got to go home and get on with it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Colin. Thank you for sharing that.
Shuna says I can leave that there for the service, so we could all have a look. I'm sorry the guys at the back can't see, but after the service, you can come and have a look.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So you see, there are people in here with lots of different interests, lots of different things that they are really, that they really, really love being part of. And it's a great joy to listen to someone like Colin talk about a hobby that he has that means so much to him. So thank you, Colin, for doing that. And thank you for bringing in your Flying Scotsman. And I'm sure a few folk will be down later to have a closer look. We're going to sing a song together. It's 792 in our hymn books. Our God is a God who makes friends.
Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26, and you can find it in the page 82 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. One day when Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every town in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. The power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man in a bed, and they tried to take him into the house and put him in front of Jesus. Because of the crowd, however, they could find no way to take him in. So they carried him up on the roof, made an opening in the tiles, and let him down on his bed into the middle of the group in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven, my friend." The teachers of the law and the Pharisees began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who speaks such blasphemy? God is the only one who can forgive sins. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Why do you think such things? Is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? I will prove to you then that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, pick up your bed, and go home." At once the man got up in front of them all, took the bed he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. They were all completely amazed. Full of fear, they praised God, saying, "What marvelous things we have seen today." And the second reading is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. And that's on page 291. Suffering for doing right. To conclude, you must all have the same attitude and the same feelings. Love one another as brothers and sisters, and be kind and humble with one another. Do not pay back evil with evil or cursing with cursing. Instead, pay back with a blessing, because a blessing is what God promised to give you when he called you. As the scripture says, "Whoever wants to enjoy life and wishes to see good times must keep from speaking evil and stop telling lies. They must turn away from evil and do good. They must strive for peace with all their heart. For the Lord watches over the righteous and listens to their prayers, but he opposes those who do evil." Thanks be to God for these readings from his most holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. We sing together hymn 694, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You." What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Following on from last week's exploration of Eros and those explicit words from Song of Songs, we're now on safer ground with a story about a different kind of love. Philia, friendship. C.S. Lewis describes philia as being like the bread you crumble almost unconsciously during a long dinner. Unlike Eros, there is no burning passion. And in contrast to storge, family love, there is no blood ties that bind us together. In philia, in friendship, we stand with our friends through a matter of choice. And so our story today illustrates the actions of friends. This familiar tale of healing is a popular one of those Sunday school staples. Often when looking at this story, we concentrate on the man being healed. But I want us to think this morning about his friends. These friends who went to extraordinary lengths to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Jesus was in the house meeting with Pharisees. The friends can't get in through the door, the room is too crowded. And so they deconstruct the roof and lower him in. Jesus is impressed. And with a quick, "Your sins are forgiven, my friend," the man is healed. And the Pharisees are furious. It's worth remembering that in this culture, there was a direct connection in most people's understanding between illness and sinfulness. If you were afflicted with an illness or a condition such as paralysis, then it was an outward sign of your inner life and a clear indication that you were cursed because of your or your ancestors' sinful ways. In a culture that had a strong element of purity and a sense of ritual cleanliness, you would be pushing against those cultural norms to associate yourself with someone with an outward manifestation of sin. Yet these friends of the paralyzed man do stay with him. They turn themselves towards the challenges he is facing. They do this alongside him and are determined to help find healing. This is philia. The friends are not going to get anything out of this action themselves other than ridicule, accusations of associating with someone who is clearly cursed, and perhaps a hefty bill for the roof repair. Yet they do it anyway. That is friendship. They do it for the benefit that their friend will accrue. And sometimes that's what we have to do. We help people not for anything we might gain, but for the difference our actions will make to those we care about. I remember helping one friend pack to go on holiday. She was in the throes of a breakdown. And the simple act of counting out the right numbers of pairs of knickers she would need and ensuring she had at least two complete sets of clothes made a huge difference. Jesus, in healing the friend, upset the Pharisees. Healing on a Sunday was wrong. This man's condition was as a result of his or his ancestors' sins, they thought. But Jesus didn't care. His concern was that this man might walk again. Standing by in friendship, prepared to stand up against the elite, doing the right thing. This is what friendship can call us to do. Jesus saw the faith that the man's friends had in him. They had brought their friend to Jesus in faith, and in faith they had brought their friend to be healed. Now, there is, of course, a possibility that we might think we are saying and doing the right thing. We might think we know what is best for our friends. A friend and colleague who is profoundly deaf wrote a reflection on this for our writing group, and Mary wrote these words. "Don't get me wrong. I know it's great that God can heal like the paralytic man with his friends. Don't get me wrong, I know you mean well, wanting me to be healed. But you never asked if I wanted to be healed. Instead, you rushed up to pray over me. My apologies for pushing you away. Don't get me wrong. God accepts me as I am. I am who I am and I love myself. I don't know any different. It would be a big shock for me if suddenly I had to change from the world I've always known. I would have to learn everything again. Don't get me wrong. I believe God has a special plan for me. Don't get me wrong. I would like to hear, but I don't want to be healed." The danger is that we see and measure what life should be by what we know and experience. Mary has a good life just as she is, and a powerful ministry that extends well beyond the deaf community to which she is minister. And I'm blessed to know Mary just as she is, and I wouldn't change her. That choice, if ever offered, is hers to make. Because friendship is all about acceptance. Acceptance of people as they are. Acceptance of people who are different. Loving them for who they are and not what we might want them to be. It's a love not based on blood ties or physical attraction. It's a love based on a shared respect, sometimes shared interests, but often that shared interest is just what brings us together. We can probably all think of people that we are friends with because of a shared interest, but I'm guessing there are also people we can think of that we don't like or see as friends despite a shared interest. Friends are about standing by people when they need you. One of the saddest things about our world is the number of people living with a variety of mental health issues. For someone with a mental health problem, one of the biggest ways we can help is just to be their friend, to stand alongside them and be there. Not to try and fix them, but just for them to know that they have people who care. The same goes for folk who are bereaved or facing a life-changing or life-limiting illness. Friends stick with people in these circumstances. To know you have people standing with you in the darkest times is a huge help. Of course, friendships also have happy, happy times. We will all have special memories of time spent with our friends, times of laughter and real joy, stories of which we tell over the years, over and over again, and maybe some stories that remain untold beyond that group. Friends come in all shapes and sizes. Social media often throws up cute videos of animals that are traditionally seen as enemies, helping each other or snuggling down together. Cats and dogs. One of my favourites recently has been one of a beagle with a duck. Social media this week threw up a different example of friendship. And this came out of the awful shooting at Christchurch. One of my favourite images was of a Christian man standing outside his local mosque. Andrew Grayston from Levenshulme stood outside his local mosque last Friday with a placard that simply said, "You are my friends. I will keep watch while you pray." This is a fine example of friendship. And there were many gestures like that around the world. People of different faith traditions coming out to support their Muslim friends and neighbours. I told you last Sunday that I had emailed the local mosques here in Aberdeen with a message of condolence and solidarity. And I'm glad to be able to tell you that I received replies from both, thanking us for taking the time to let them know that we were thinking about them. It mattered to them that their neighbours, albeit of a different faith tradition, cared enough to be in touch. We also received an invitation, which I shared on our Facebook page and Graham shared with the elders, to an event yesterday at one of the mosques. I had a call from the Masjid al-Hikmah community inviting me to say a few words at that event. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to, as I'd already committed to be at the conference. But had I been free, I would have been there, ready to continue to build friendships with our Muslim brothers and sisters. And I'm pleased to say that I know a few of the folks that are here this morning were there yesterday. Thank you for going along. You see, friendship doesn't exclude. Having friends from across the community is important. It's healthy. I worry about people whose circles are narrow. I once listened to a sermon where the preacher told his listeners that we should only be true friends with other Christians and that marrying outside the faith was wrong. It was the most uncomfortable I have ever felt listening to a sermon. Because I'm blessed by my non-Christian friends. I'm blessed to be able to see the world through their eyes, and I hope that the feeling is mutual. Another image that floats around social media from time to time and was circulating again this week has these words on it. A Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, a pagan, and an atheist walk into a coffee shop. and they talk, laugh, drink coffee, and become good friends. It's not a joke. It's just what happens when you're not an ass. Jesus and his friends went through a huge amount together, the stories of which we find in the Gospels. But we don't know it all. We aren't told all of it. And they stick together, though, through everything. A group of people with a common bond that's held together in friendship. And yet could you find a more diverse group? Jesus, we know from his life, reached out and touched the lives of many, often those at the margins. There was no one out with the scope of his love. There is no one excluded now from being part of his group of friends. In the same way, there is no one excluded from being part of our community of faith. We are, or at least should be, friends together, ready to stand by each other when need be. And standing by our brothers and sisters of the world is something I know that the folks here in Cults do well and demonstrate time and time again. We are an outward-looking church, looking for ways to help our neighbours near and far. You only have to look at the response to the various appeals that are made for the food banks, the retirement offerings we have, the monies raised at coffee mornings and at Christmas time in our special services, the sport shown to the children of Jam when raising funds for toilet twinning, and more recently, the way you made short shift of the mountain of rice that they had to sell. You are a generous congregation. And it's with that in mind that I hesitate to ask slightly more of you. But hidden behind the Brexit headlines this last week has been the terrible disaster in Africa. An estimated 2.6 million people have been affected by the cyclone in Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. At least 550 people, according to Christian Aid, have been killed, and some 400,000 have lost their homes, with the devastating toll expected to keep on rising. Those affected, especially those in remote areas, are in desperate need of food, water, clothing, shelter, and medicine. Christian Aid is acting as part of the Disasters Emergency Committee to raise urgent funds, working with their local partners on the ground in Zimbabwe and Malawi. Christian Aid are helping to provide much-needed emergency assistance. Now, you may well have already donated funds to help with this disaster, but if you haven't, I wonder if you might consider contributing something to Christian Aid's appeal. Maureen has left some gift aid envelopes around the sanctuary, should you wish to donate. When you give so generously, as you do, you are showing your concern and love for your friends and our God. This is what philia looks like in practice: helping, caring, standing by, supporting, loving people who share the same sky as we do. God's love is for everyone, no one excluded, no one beyond the reach of that love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Amen. We continue in our worship, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Generous God, your love for us is greater than we can ever imagine. Your gifts to us are wonderful and many. Today we offer back to you our gifts of money. Take and use them in our church and wider world. May they help to bring healing and wholeness to men and women, boys and girls in need. May they be used to build friendships, relationships, and guide people on their journey. Amen. Our hymn is 544, When I Needed a Neighbour, Were You There? What a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, hear our prayers this day. We cry out to you in deep distress for a world that is in need, for people who are in despair. We pray especially today for the people of Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. People who have lost homes, lost possessions, lost loved ones, lost hope. May our response to their situation help them know that we care, that we stand with them in the time of trouble. As the population of the world continues to rise, so does the strain of our resources continue to struggle to meet all our wants and desires. We're thankful for local communities coming together to face their challenges and work as one to meet their needs. We're grateful for the people who are working to help them and who are advising them of routes and models that can help them. We are blessed with friends here in our congregation and further afield. We are glad to have people in our lives who want to help us and to listen to us. We pray for those men and women, boys and girls, who for whatever reason have lost their friends, who are struggling to carry on alone and without help. We are glad of charities and volunteers who give of their time and talents to help them and travel with them in their time of need, and who offer them help to move forward in their lives when they are ready. Lord Jesus, you are our friend, always ready to listen to us and help us, and we thank you. Enable us to be a friend to others in need today and always. Amen. We stand to sing our final hymn, 547, and I promise to remember the benediction this week. 547, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. God's people, interrupt the world with a friendship that loves, filled with grace and full of justice. Such is the place the kingdom enters. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, goes with you each step of the way, always.